Lord, I do ask that you'd help all of us to be attentive, Lord, and help me, Lord, to have a clear mind, to be able to say the things you want me to say. And Lord, there's a work that needs to be done this morning. And Lord, I know you want to get it done. And I pray you'd help me, Lord, to be able to speak the word and be able to say the things you've laid on my heart. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Matthew chapter number 14. And some of you are thinking, Pastor, this baby has definitely taken a toll on your mind. Because you're reading the passage of the story that we were in last week. And I know we were there last week. We were in John chapter 6, but in the same story. And today, you know, we talked about this already. Today we're taking a special offering. First time we've ever done this. And Lord willing, not the last, but first time we've ever done something like this. And I'm not going to spend time doing it again because I went through it extensively last week. But you know, our church doesn't emphasize money at all. We don't believe in making the house of God a house of merchandise. We don't believe in charging for CDs and charging for this and charging for that. We emphasize the Word of God and we emphasize the Bible. But you know what? The Bible does talk a lot about tithing and offerings and financial giving and stuff in that respect. And we're taking a special offering this morning in regards to purchasing a van that we desperately need. And last week, we preached on the story there of the feeding of 5,000 in John chapter 6, and we went through all sorts of different passages, but we were preaching on the requirements of an attitude of giving, or of a spirit of giving. And this week, I'd like to, you know, that was part one. Part two is this week, and I want to follow up on that subject of not just, last week we dealt with the requirements for an attitude of giving. This week, I want to deal with the results of an attitude of giving. And if you weren't here last week, I apologize. But, you know, we had the CDs up and stuff like that. But don't worry, we're not going to, you're going to be able to, today's sermon will stand by on its own, but it is meant to build on last week what we were focusing in on last week. That's why we read the story again. But we're going to be in Matthew 14 as opposed to John 6 this week. But don't worry, we'll be going all throughout the scriptures. But I do want to preach on the subject of the results of the attitude of giving. Last week we dealt with the requirements for an attitude of giving. This week we'll deal with the results of an attitude of giving. Point number one, you're there in Matthew chapter 14. Look at verse number 15. And like I said, you think I'm scatterbrained and I haven't got any sleep? You should talk to my wife. She's been up all night with that baby. She's a cute baby, but she's very, very bad. Matthew 14, and look at verse number 15. Matthew 14, and look at verse number 15. And I'd like you to look at verse number 15 in Matthew 14. It says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.'" Last week we talked about the fact that that word victuals there. It's talking about food supplies. It's talking about they're talking about sending people off to buy food and groceries because they've been there in the preaching service all week long. Verse 16. "But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him," and I want you to notice verse 17, he says, "They say unto him, 'We have here but five loaves and two fishes.'" Now, I want you to understand this, and I want you to get this, and I want you to focus it, because I believe this will help you this morning if you listen to what the Word of God has to say. But point number one is this: God multiplies what is offered. When you give an offering and you give something of yourself, and we're dealing with finances this morning, but we're not just talking about finances. We're talking about your life and in general. When you offer yourself to God, it is God's job to multiply what is offered. If you look at verse 17 there, you see the attitude of these people. They say, in verse 17, "And they say unto him, 'We have here but five loaves and two fishes.'" They're saying, "This is all we got, God, is five loaves and two fishes." If you remember, keep your finger there in Matthew 14. Go with me real quickly to John chapter number 6. And there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter number 6. If you remember the way they phrased it in John, if you look at John chapter number 6, look at verse number 8. John chapter number 6 and verse 8, the Bible says in John 6, 8, it says, "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, 'There is a lad here, which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes.'" Notice what they say. They ask this question: "But what are they among so many?" You know, and so often, you can go back to Matthew 14, so often, we, as human beings, as sinful men, as people without faith and without vision, and maybe a little bit of doubt and a little bit of laziness, so often we want to discredit ourselves from being able to offer something, and we hide under the excuse that I don't have much to offer, and what I have to need, and the need is so great that I can't fulfill it. These people, Jesus was saying, we've got 5,000 men here we've got to feed, not counting women and children. He says, what do we have? And their attitude is, well, all we've got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Verse 17, they say unto them, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In John 6, they say, what are these among so many? So often we want to discredit ourselves from being able to give and offer and give something to God. Because we have this attitude, I don't have much to give. I don't have much to offer. It's not going to do much anyway. But let me tell you something. Instead of limiting ourselves, instead of stopping ourselves before we even get started, we ought to look to stretch ourselves, and we ought to look to sacrifice ourselves, and we ought to look to say, you know what, I may not have much to offer, but here's what I do have, because you've got to understand this, when it comes to the subject of giving, that it is God who multiplies the gift. It is God who fills the need. You're only asked to give what you can give.
Amen.
God says, I'll fill the need, I'll multiply it. He said, you don't have to feed the 5,000, you just have to give me what you have to offer. But so often we limit ourselves. Go with me real quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We looked at this passage last week, but I want you to see it again. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And if you can, put your ribbon there or put a bulletin there in 2 Corinthians, because we're going to be coming back to 2 Corinthians a few times. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Remember this church? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse number 1. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Remember we were talking about this last week? The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth, and he's giving them an example or a testimony of this churches in Macedonia. Now Macedonia was a province, like a state where they lived in. And Macedonia was a place that at one point, I'll give you just a little bit of history. At one point, Macedonia was a very rich place. They had a lot of gold and silver, actually, is what they had. They had silver there. And do you remember Alexander the Great in your history books? His father, which I can't, his name slips me now, but his father had found the silver there in Macedonia and had spent his life mining that area and literally removed all the silver out of Macedonia and bankrupted that area. That's how Alexander the Great had the finances to be able to do all the wars and all the things that he did. He had that because his father had found a fortune there in Macedonia. And the Apostle Paul is speaking about these churches in Macedonia. Look at verse 2. He says that how that in great trial of affliction, these people, once they had found this silver, and that's not in the Bible, by the way. I'm just giving you a little bit of history. That's not in Scripture. I want to make that clear. But these people had all this money, all this silver, all these riches. But when they'd been taken out, they were left in affliction. They were left in poverty. They were left a very poor community. And these churches in Macedonia had been started there. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their, notice what it says, deep poverty. You know what the word poverty means? It means poor. It means broke. It means without financial wealth. He says, and in their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Look at verse 3. For to their power, that means as much as they were able to do, I bear record, yea, notice what it says, and beyond their power, more than they were able to do, they were willing of themselves. And the Bible gives us this account there of the church of Macedonia that was in an area that did not have much money, did not have much finances, did not have much wealth, did not have much they could do. But this church of Macedonia was willing to give of themselves to their power and above their power. And they were actually giving towards churches in Jerusalem and churches in other locations and financing the ministries of the great Apostle Paul, even though they were poor and broke and had nothing to give. And the Apostle Paul is using them as an example to the Corinthians and rubbing it in their face and saying, look, church at Corinth. Corinth, just to give you some history, Corinth was like San Francisco. It was a port city. It was like New York City. It was a port city where all sorts of merchants and all sorts of merchandise would come into that city. Very wealthy city. And the Apostle Paul is looking at this very, a wealthy church at Corinth, and he's saying the church in Macedonia that is afflicted and is in poverty and has nothing have been willing to give to their power and above their power. And he's saying you ought to look at that as an example and not have this excuse, well, I can't do it. I don't have anything. I can't. Because so often we hide behind those excuses. And let me tell you something. Excuses are like feet. Everyone's got a couple and they all stink. I mean, we could put up an excuse for anything. We could give up, ask me for money any day of the week. I'm broke every day. we all are. Money doesn't abound. We understand that. But we ought not hide behind excuses to say, I can't do this. I can't. And we're talking about financially. But when it comes to Bible reading, when it comes to soul winning, when it comes to serving, when it comes to ministering, when it comes to any area of life, you ought not
saved. I can't go soul winning.
And we have this attitude, what are they among so many? But let me tell you something. It is God's job to multiply what's offered. And instead of limiting ourselves, we ought to just stretch ourselves and sacrifice and walk in that faith and see what it is that God would do. It is God's job to multiply what is offered and meet the need. Go back there to Matthew and keep your finger in 2 Corinthians or put your bulletin there or something, because we're going to be coming back to 2 Corinthians a couple times. But go back to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. Look at verse number 17. Even when we've got something to give, so often this is our attitude towards giving. This is what I have, that's what I'll give. Never pray about it. Never think about it. Never stop to think, what could I give up this week? What could I stop doing this week? What could I sacrifice this week? How could I stretch myself this week? We just have this mindset where this is what I can do and that's all I'm going to do. Where as Christians, we ought to have this attitude, I'm going to give of myself to God and let God do what He will do. Amen. Matthew 14, look at verse number 17. And they say unto Him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all we've got. Say, we don't have anything else. Look at the response of Jesus Christ. Well, if that's all you have, just forget it. Is that what He said? Well, what are we, you know, is this how Jesus responded? Well, what are we going to do with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Look at the crowd. Is that what He said? Notice what He said, verse 18. He said, bring them hither to Me. He said, if that's all you got, and that's all you can offer, He said, bring it on. He said, give it to Me. Because it's not our job. See, we're not in the ministry of meeting needs. We're in the ministry of being available and offering ourselves and let God do His work. Amen. The Bible said, you know, we get out of this mindset that, Pastor, did you notice? We only have, you know, I don't know how many people are here today. We only have 25 people in church. I know, it's Memorial Day. What do you expect? We have 30 in church on Wednesday night. Good night. Meeting in a house. Amen. More than the average church, the average Baptist, I mean, most of us don't even have church on Wednesday night. And we've got to have this attitude. You know, the Bible says if the Lord doesn't build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Amen. It's God that does the work. It is God that gives the increase, not us. We just labor. Look at what He says. Look at verse 18. He said, bring them hither to Me. Verse 19. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. They said, all we've got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring it to Me. And God, see, here's what Jesus, I love the story of the feeding 5,000, because this is what Jesus did. He just thanked God for what He had. And by the way, we ought to have that attitude. You notice Jesus didn't sit there and complain to His disciples. I can't believe you expect me to feed 5,000, God, and all you give me is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You don't hear Him complaining. You don't hear Him whining like we like to. God, how do you expect me to raise this family? I'm only God. Or how do you expect me to do this? Or how do you expect me to do that? He just says, you know what, God? Thank You for what You've given us. Thank You for what You've provided. Thank You for giving us. You gave us more than we deserve. And He just thanked God. And this is a miracle. I love it. He just begins to break bread. But He just never stops.
I love it.
He just never runs out. Yeah. He just breaks bread and breaks bread and breaks bread and divides the fish and divides the fish. And He feed, and the Bible says they were filled and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. It is God's job. Let me tell you something. You will do more in your Christian life if you realize that it is not about you. It is not about what you can offer. It is not about what you can do. It's not about how successful you are or what you can give. It is about the fact that you are able to give and let God do the rest. Let God step in. Let God step in to build the church family. Let God step in to build your family. Let God step in to build your business or your job or whatever you're endeavoring to do. Just stop looking at yourself and say, do what you want.
Amen.
That's the purpose.
Amen.
God multiplies what is offered.
Amen.
God gives. You know, people have literally left our church, Verity Baptist Church, for this reason. It's not big enough. I've had literally people, I had a lady look me in the face and say, Pastor, I love your church, I love the preaching, I love the spirit, I love the attitude, but you don't have a youth group big enough. So I'm going to take my kid off to Liberal Baptist Church down the street because they've got a big old youth group. And this is what I think to myself. I had another guy tell me, I love your church. I love the King James Bible. I love the preaching. But there's not enough men. This is before we had some men. He said, I got to go somewhere where there's men. And this is what I always think to myself. When people say this to me, this is what I think to myself.
If every man had that idea, we'd never have men.
if every parent that had a teenager said, there's not enough teenagers for my teenager, it's not enough. They'll look at us meeting in a house, and they'll look at us just a crowd of a few people. You're really meeting in your living room? And they'll say, this is what they'll say, what are they among so many?
Let me tell you something. It is God's job to multiply. It is God's job to meet the need.
It's not our job to... Look, we're not trying to impress anybody. Look at our beautiful sanctuary and look at our you know, we're going to take off an offering to buy a 1999, you know, Dodge van. We're not trying to impress anyone. We're just trying to offer and let God do His work. Let God step in. You know, and you say, well, are you mad at this week? We had a family come here who actually close friends of ours, of my wife and I. And they came to our church. You know, it's funny. I just wish people, let me tell you something. You're safer just keeping your mouth shut than talking. You know, we get ourselves in so much trouble. Because these people, they come to our church, and they're like, we're going to come visit, and because we're thinking of coming to your church and serving with you, and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And we're like, you know, at this time, we don't really have even this car we don't have. You know, and my wife was just learning to play the piano, so she could play the piano. And they had a pianist in their family, and they had this, and they had that. And they've been Christians for a long time, and they were so winning. And I was excited. I was like, man, praise the Lord. And they're like, yeah, we're going to come check it out and make sure. They came one Sunday night, never came back, never heard from them again. And it's like, well, what are we supposed to think? You know? But you say, well, what's the problem? Well, no nursery, no children's church, no this, no that. And you know what? And you say, well, Pastor, are you mad at those people? Look, I'm not mad at anybody who says it's not enough, who says there's just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, who says, you say, you think they'll ever come back? I hope they do. But you know what? I don't have any ill will towards them. I don't have any problems with them. You know why? Because it is them who are missing out. It is them who are not stepping out by faith. It is them who are not able to see with a vision that God will do something. And it's them who've got the issue, not us. Because all we're doing is offering what we have available.
Amen.
Well, you only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is that among so many? Let's just give it to God.
Amen.
Let's bring it to Jesus, see what He'll do with it. God multiplies what is offered. Stop discrediting yourself, by the way. Well, I don't have much to offer. I didn't go to Bible college, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. Look, who did? Not me.
Just say, hey, God, this is what I have.
Now, here's the difference. Instead of looking at what you have to offer, why don't you say, look, this is all I have, but I can give you as much of myself as anyone else can.
Amen.
See, all I've got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but I can give you all of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And let's just see what you will do. I said, number one, God is in charge of multiplying what is offered. Number two, and I want you to understand this. God does more with less. You said, what are you talking about? Look down at Matthew 14. Look at verse 17. Matthew 14, 17. The Bible says, and they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now I want you to, you know, if you're taking notes, write this down or just make a mental note. They had 5 loaves, 2 fishes, okay? Remember that. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Look at verse 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments, so they took up of what was the leftovers, they took up the fragments that remained, make note of this number, 12 baskets full. Isn't that amazing? They started with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, not even enough for a lunch for a family, and they ended up with 12 baskets full of food. Okay, so keep this in mind. They had 5 loaves, 2 fishes. They ended up with 12 baskets. Look at verse 21. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men. Now, we often say the feeding of the 5,000, but that's incorrect, because notice what it says. About 5,000 men, beside women and children. So, that was just the count of the men. They didn't count the women and children. We talked about this last week. A very conservative number of the actual crowd that was there could have been 15,000 people. If you had 5,000 men, and most of those men have a wife and a few children, you could have had 15,000 people. It wasn't a feeding of 5,000, it was a feeding of 15. And it really could have been anywhere between 15,000 to 30,000 people.
Wow.
That were fed that day. But he fed 5,000 men. Now understand this. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Fed 5,000 men, had 12 baskets full left over. Now, do you know that in the Bible, the miracle of feeding there was not done once, but twice? So what are you talking about? Look at Matthew 15. Just the very next chapter. Now, this is how you know that there's not a mistake in the Bible, because this is the next chapter, okay? It's in context. Look at Matthew 15. Look at verse number 30. Matthew 15, look at verse number 30. The Bible says, "And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, and maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him, and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude?" Deja vu, huh? Look at verse 34. "And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said," seven, "and a few little fishes." Okay, so they were feeding the 5,000. They had how many? 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Now they have how many loaves? 7 loaves and a few little fishes. The word "few" there is talking about at least 3. You understand what I'm saying? Because both, you know, like both would be the terminology for 2. So he said we have a few little fishes. So we know they have a few, they have at least 3 fishes. 7 loaves, 3 fishes. Look at verse number 35. "And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full." So you see, the same miracle is done twice. But I want you to notice the numbers. 7 loaves, a few fishes. How many baskets full did they have left? Verse 37. 7 baskets full. "And they that did eat were," notice what it says, 4,000 men, beside women and children. Okay, so now, first we had 5,000 men, right? Now we have 4,000 men, beside women and children. So before we're looking at 15,000 to 30,000 people, now we're looking to 12,000 to 24,000 people. You understand what I'm saying? So they've got a smaller crowd the second time, right? 5,000 men, 4,000 men. Before they had 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and had 12 baskets left over. Now they start, notice, they start with more. 7 loaves and a few fishes, but they end with less. They fed less, and they have how many baskets left? 7. How many did they have before? 12. You say, what is the point of all this? Well, you got to understand this. There's nothing in the Bible by coincidence. Everything's in the Bible for a reason. And I believe that God is trying to make a point, and here's his point. God does more with less. When you had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, you fed more people and had more left over. When you started with more, 7 loaves and a few fishes, you fed less people and had less left over. You say, what is God trying to teach you? Here's what he's trying to teach you. God does more with less. God gives more with less. You say, what does that have to do? I don't understand it. Here's what you got to understand, okay? In fact, I told you to keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians. Go back. 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 12 this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There's a principle in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Just look at this. 2 Corinthians 12. Look at verse number 7. And the Apostle Paul is speaking. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. We go to it often. But I want you to see it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 7. The Apostle Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure..." Because he's talking about how his ministry has been so great, and God has done so many things, and you know, I believe he was caught up to heaven, and saw those different things there. Verse 7, he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelation," he said, because God revealed to me so much stuff, and he used me to write so much of the New Testament, he didn't want me to get arrogant, he didn't want me to get a big head, so there was given to me a thorn in the flesh.
Amen.
He was given a physical ailment. And I believe for the Apostle Paul, it was his eyes. And I can show you that in the Bible another time. But he was given a physical ailment. And notice what he says. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." He says, look, God sent a messenger to buffet me. God sent a messenger to just keep me down and keep me humble, because God was using me in such a mighty way. He gave me an ailment, a thorn in the flesh, to keep me humble. Look at verse 8. And by the way, sometimes God does that. Sometimes it's God's will that we deal with sicknesses and health issues and financial issues. Look at verse 8. "For this thing," notice what he says, this is the Apostle Paul. I mean, one of the greatest men who ever lived. And he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He said, I asked God to heal me from this three different times. Lord, he says, that it might depart from me. Verse 9. And he said unto me, notice what he says. He said, this was God's response to me. When I prayed, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I want you to notice this. This is what God says. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. See, God actually, see, this is how we think as humans. If I could offer more to God, then we could do more. And God says, no, God thinks opposite. He says, I want to use the weakest vessel. He says, I want to use the one that will give me the least. Because when you give me, he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He says, when you give me 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I can feed 5,000 and have 12 men. But God, we'll give you more. We'll give you 7 loaves and a few fishes. And he says, I actually do less when you give more. I do less. See, this is, you and I say, well, if I could sing like so-and-so, if I could preach like so-and-so, if I had the finances of so-and-so, if I had the good looks of pastor, I look at people and say, if I was just a little bit taller, we all have excuses, right? If I was a little thinner, and then the thin guy says, if I was a little fatter, if I was a little this, if I was a little that, we all have excuses, but here's what God said. When you have less, he says, I can do more. Because here's the thing, when you're weaker, I'm stronger. When you're less, I can do more. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now here's what you understand, okay? Listen up. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, verse 9. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then notice, here's the attitude change. He says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. See, he said, before, I had this thorn in the flesh, and he said, I prayed that God would take it away, and I didn't like it, and I didn't want it. But when I realized that God can use me more when I'm weak, he said, I glory in my infirmities. He said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. Here's why. He said, I'd rather be sick if it means that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. See, here's what you got to say. You say, well, Pastor, we don't have a nice building, and we don't have a big crowd, and we don't have a lot of money. Hey, I'd rather be weak if it means that it's so-and-so church down the street and they've got this and they've got that. And see, God says, when you've got more, I do less. Amen. But he said, when you give me less, he said, I can do so much more.
Amen.
Notice what he says, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let me ask you. See, we all want the power of Christ upon us, but what if it meant having a sickness? Would you still want it? What if it meant having a hurt that God would never heal? Would you still want it? What if it meant never reconciling with a spouse? Would you still want it? What if it meant never reconciling with your children? Would you still want it? What if it meant living with pain and living with hurt and living with sadness the rest of your life, but it meant that God's power was on you? Would you still want it? What if it meant being weak?
I got it.
Would you say, I still want it?
I still want it.
Look at verse 10. Therefore, notice what he says, verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmity. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong.
Amen.
God, let me tell you something. God does more with less.
Amen, Pastor. That's my favorite.
See, it's God's job to multiply what we offer. Not our job to fill the need. It's our job to just give what we can give and do what we can do and let God do the rest.
Amen, Pastor.
Now, here's what the funny thing is. You and I as Christians, as human beings, we look at ourselves and we say, well, if I just had what so-and-so had. And here's what God says. Both of you are sinners. Both of you are dumb. Both of you are weak. But see, it's like the lad in chapter 14, looking at the guy or whoever gave the food in chapter 15 and saying, well, I only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but if I had 7 loaves, I could do so much more. Now, let me ask you something. Honestly. Is 7 loaves and 2 fishes going to do a lot more to feed 4,000 than 5 loaves and 2 fishes going to do to feed 5,000? See, but you and I look at us as, if I just had a Bible college degree, if I just had this, if I just had that, and God says, look, it's going to require God stepping in anyway. You could have 14 loaves. It still takes God. It's still Zechariah 4:6. You don't. Well, let's just go there. Go to Zechariah 4:6. You say, "Where's Zechariah?" Go past the book of Matthew. Then you got the book of Malachi, and right before the book of Malachi, you got the book of Zechariah, the second to last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4. Look at verse number 6. Zechariah 4:6, God was speaking to a man who he called to do a great work. And in Zechariah 4:6, he said, "But before you get started, let me tell you something." Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, second to last book in the Old Testament, right before the book of Malachi. Zechariah 4:6, he says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not," notice what he says, "not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." It's done through His Spirit. It's done through His power. Let me tell you something. Pastor, it's all depending on how much money I give towards the man. No, it's not by might, not by power, not by finances. It's just us offering to God and letting God's Spirit take over. Letting God do the work. You've got to understand, though, God does more with less. So you never have the excuse, "I'm too broke." You never have the excuse, "I'm too dumb." You never have the excuse, "I don't know enough." You never have the excuse, "I'm too young." "I'm too new." "I'm too timid." You never have the excuse, because the less you have to offer, God says, "I'll do more. I'll be better. I'll be stronger. Because my strength is made perfect in weakness."
Amen.
I said, number one, God multiplies what is offered. I said, number two, God does more with less. Number three, go back to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. I want you to understand this. God meets the need of those being ministered to, but He also meets the need of those ministering. So what are you saying? God meets the need of those in need, but He also meets the need. And He never forgets those who are out there meeting the need. You say, what are you talking about? Look at Matthew 14, look at verse 20. Matthew 14, 20. Look what it says. "And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained." Notice what it says. 12 baskets full. Now, let me ask you, how many disciples were there? 12. Who was handing out the food? The disciples. Notice Jesus didn't forget about the workers. He said, "Well, you got 5,000 men besides women and children we got to feed." Okay, we'll feed them. But when the work is done, when the Sunday service is over, when the soul winning time is over, when it's all said and done, He says, "Hey guys, I haven't forgot about the ministers." He said, "We met the need of those we are ministering to, but we'll also meet the need of those who are doing the work." The 12. You find the same principle there in Matthew 15. Look at verse 36. Matthew 15 and verse 36. It says, "And He took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks and broke them, and gave to His disciples, and the disciples to the multitude." Notice, they're the ones giving out. Verse 7. "And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full." You say, "Well, he gave them less." I think 12 men could split 7 baskets full of food and be fine. You don't you? See, God meets the need. Not only of those who are being ministered to, but those who are doing the ministry. Not those who we are trying to help, but those who are doing the helping. Not just the souls we're trying to bring to church, and the souls we're trying to get saved, and the souls we're trying to get baptized. But He said, when you're laboring in that vineyard, and you're working in that vineyard, He says, "I will take care of you too." He says, "I'll meet your need as well." Go with me real quickly. Philippians chapter number 4. Very well-known verses in the Bible. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 19. You remember when you needed me to say that so you could find it? Now you don't. That's growth. Amen. Amen. Philippians 4, look at verse 19. He said, "Well, I still need you to say it. You're on your way, don't worry." Philippians 4:19, look what it says. "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." See, here's what you got to understand. God's not broke. And He's not hard up on money. God's not, you know, hoping you'll give so He can feed His family. No, God's fine. Financially, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. He's fine. We often go to this verse in Philippians, and find comfort there. Read it again. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But here's what I want you to understand, okay? Go, keep your finger there in Philippians. Go back to 2 Corinthians. You're still there? Remember I told you to keep your finger there? You should have your index finger in 2 Corinthians, your thumb in Matthew 14, your pinky in Philippians, your toe, no. 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 8 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me give you a little Bible study real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look what it says. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of, what's the next word? Macedonia. What churches are we talking about? The churches where? In Macedonia. What about the churches of Macedonia? Look at verse 2. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. The churches in Macedonia were the churches that were in poverty, the churches that had no money, the churches that were broke. They were the ones who were giving. Look at verse 3. For to their power, what they were able to do, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. So they gave what they could do, and then they gave what I call a silly offering. Where it's like, I can't even do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. I can't even afford that, but I'm going to afford it anyway. And they gave to their power and above their power. The churches at where? Macedonia. Right? Keep your finger there. Philippians 4:19. But God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus is in the book of what? Philippians. The church at Philippi. Let me show you something. Go with me to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Look what the Bible says. Acts 16. Let me just connect the dots for you a little bit. Acts 16. Look at verse 12. Acts 16:12. The Apostle Paul is going through the ministry there, and I just want you to see something. Verse 12, it says, and from thence to Philippi, the church that the book of Philippians was written to, which is the chief city of that part of, what's it say?
Macedonia.
And a colony that were in that city abiding certain days. Let me tell you something. The church in Macedonia, that was in poverty, that could not give, but they gave liberally anyway, and they gave to their power, above their power, that was the church that God gave the promise to. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That you say, well, that promise was given to all of us. I understand that. But in a very basic and practical way, that promise was given to a church that was sacrificing and stretching itself and doing more than they could do. And when they were doing that, He says, you know what? Church at Philippi, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. He's doing fine. He's got the money. He's got everything you need. You just offer yourself and let God do the rest. May I give you a little testimony? Just as I close, I don't want to preach very long tonight. This morning. Tonight. Last week I did something, and I'm going to say it again because I want to make sure you understand my heart. Last week, I did something that I was not comfortable with at all. And I told you last week that the only reason I did it is because I was talking to one of my good friends, Pastor Mark Lewis. A lot of you know him. He's preached for us before. And he was telling me that as a pastor, I should tell you how much I'm planning on giving. So that you understand that me as a pastor of this church, I'm not asking you to do something I'm not willing to do. Now look, when you give an offering, you ought not have that attitude where you're just going around saying, well, I gave this much. And I hope you understand, that's not my heart. But he said, you know what, as a pastor, he was telling me, you ought to tell your people how much you're going to give. And by the way, I don't take a check from this church. I work a full-time job, a secular job. He said, you ought to tell the people how much you're going to give so they understand that you're willing to sacrifice and you're willing to stretch yourself and you're willing to do something and you're not asking them to do something you're not willing to do. And last week I shared with you that my wife and I, well, we had initially, just in our flesh, said, we'll give $200 towards the offering. And after thinking about it and praying about it, I remember I went to my wife and I said, you know what, I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart to give $400 towards the purchase of the van. Now here's the thing. I want you to understand. That may be a lot of money to you, or that may be very little. But to this guy, it's a lot of money. I made $2,500 last month. The way my job works, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's whatever. $2,500. And by the way, I'm not giving my tithe and putting another name. I gave my tithe. This is an offering above my tithe. You do the math. $2,500, $250 tithe, $400 in an offering. Doesn't leave much when you've got a new baby, two other big fat babies, you know, two adults living in a home, a mortgage, and all sorts of different things. Doesn't leave much. But my wife and I, we prayed about it. We said, you know what? We'll give $400. We wanted to stretch ourselves and sacrifice. And I was nervous about it. And my wife was nervous about it. Because we thought, we got this baby coming. Gonna have some expenses, gonna have this, gonna have that. But we said, you know what? Let's just give it to God. Let's give to our power and our above our power, and let's just see what God will do. And I just thought, you know what? We'll just eat macaroni and cheese, and we'll eat, you know, rice and beans for the next month, and we'll be fine. God will take care of it. You say, why are you bringing this up again? Because I want to share something with you. The day that my wife and I decided, 400, that's the number, for us. Can I give you a testimony? You know what happened? My wife goes out to the mail the next day. And she gets our mail. And she gets our mortgage check. You know, our mortgage bill that we normally get. Which she normally just puts into the bills and forgets about it until it's time to pay the bills. But this time it was something a little different. In big red letters it said something about, you know, time-sensitive information. And she thought, oh man, you know, do we owe them money or maybe there's another tax or something. And so she opens it up. And I brought it in just, and you know, you can look at it if you want, but she opened it up and it was kind of folded and she began to look at it and she realized that the mortgage company had somehow found out that we had overpaid them $403.52 and sent us a check. I'm telling you, sent us a check. $403.52. You say, Pastor, he meant, you know, my wife called me. You said, you're never going to believe what happened. I said, what happened? She said, the mortgage company sent us a check for $403.52 the day after we decided we're getting $400. You said, Pastor, why are you saying this? No, listen to me. I'm not saying this to you. I'm trying to tell you something. You know what breaks my heart? Is that some of you will never experience that.
Yes.
Because you're not willing to stretch yourself.
Give it up.
Because you just automatically say, well, I can't give anything. I don't have anything. I can't offer anything. And instead of saying, well, God, what can we do? And how can we sacrifice? And what can we do? And letting God fill the need. Instead of saying, I'll step out by faith. I didn't have 400 to give, but I do today.
Amen.
I didn't have 400 to give, but I've got it now. Why? Because I stretched out and my wife stretched out. We stepped by faith and we said, we'll give to our power and above our power. And God did it. And you know what breaks my heart? It's that you don't get to experience it. And I wish you could. You know why? Forget the van. Who cares about the van? You know what this did for me? Grew my faith.
Absolutely.
Grew my strength. It grew me personally. As a Christian, I grew. See, God said, you've got a need. See, remember when he asked him in John 6? He said, how are we going to feed these people? He knew what he was going to do.
Amen, Pastor.
He just wanted to know, to prove. Remember what I said in John 6? To prove them. See, these needs and these attempts and these sacrifices, these things, God's doing it to grow you. And I'm not saying that when you give money, you're going to get a check. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that's what God did for me. And God strengthened me. And God grew me. You think I'm doubting God today?
No.
You think I'm down and out today?
No.
You think I was excited when I wrote out that check for $400 and I put it in that offering plate and I said, to God be the glory? You think I was excited? You know why? Because God did something for me and he'll do the same for you if you'd offer yourself. But see, you know why we don't see that? You know why we don't have that excitement? Because before we're ever able to stretch, we say, I can't do that. You limit yourself before you see what God can do. I can't offer that. I wonder how many people had a little lunch that day and said, well, isn't going to do anything. You think that lad was happy he gave? All throughout history, all in heaven. You know what I mean? I was that lad. I was that kid. That was the lunch I was supposed to take back to mom. But I said, here, Jesus, you have it. And he fed. But so many people that day were like, what? I can't do this. I'm going to go hungry. Say, Pastor, you just want our money. Look, your money perished with you. I could care less about the money. You say, well, what if not enough money comes in to pay for the van? Then we won't get a van. Just this is worth it to me.
Amen, Pastor.
But you know what? Here's the thing. God's trying to grow you. God's trying to stretch you. God's trying to show our church that it is not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And by the way, you know what? I don't even have to tithe on this because this is already tithe money. You know, normally you get money, you got to tithe on it. Well, some of you do. And you're like, oh man, I got this money, but now I got to tithe. This money is already tithe money. It's just an overpayment.
Amen.
And you just go right back to God.
Amen.
God's trying to stretch you. God's trying to stretch our church. You say, well, we just got this little church and meeting in a little house. You don't got a youth group. You don't got a school. You don't even have a van. I know. What are these amongst me? But if you would just say, God, I'll offer what I have. What I have to offer. What I can give. Let me tell you something. God will do marvelous things. And I wonder what God wanted to do for you during this need. But you said, no, not now, can't do it, forget it. And now you don't get to experience that faith-growing, building type of excitement. Say, Pastor, what do you want? I just want you to trust God.
Amen.
I just want you to trust God. Have faith in God. He'll do good. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, thank you for opportunities where we can glorify your name. And Lord, if we would step out by faith, man, what if I would have offered $700? What if I would just offer $3,500 and said, I'll do it? We limit ourselves. Help us to have a church that won't limit themselves, that'll stretch, that'll sacrifice. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for those who give. Thank you for the offering we're about to take. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.